Hello and welcome to the latest podcast from The Lancet Haematology. I'm Richard Lane. In this month's podcast, we are discussing a milestone, 1 million hematopoietic stem cell transplantations, detailed in an article published online today, February the 27th, and in the upcoming March issue of The Lancet Haematology. Let's hear from one of the authors of this landmark study, introducing himself.
Hello, I'm Professor Dietke Niederwieser. I'm speaking from the University of Leipzig, where I'm the head of hematology and clinical oncology.
Professor Niederwieser, many thanks indeed for talking to The Lancet Haematology. Terrific to be discussing your study, which looks to me, as a non-expert, a bit of a milestone we're discussing. 1 million hematopoietic stem cell transplantations. So looking forward to our discussion. But first of all, tell us about the background to your study. Why did you decide to do this?
Yeah, it's really a milestone in stem cell transplantation to have reached 1 million of hematopoietic stem cell transplantation. Now, we are collecting the activity in different regions in the world already since many years. But what we did now is to collect, to summarize all these activities from the whole world together. We are hoping to have reached this 1 million. So we looked back at our different societies, our society members, to see where we are in this 1 million. We have finally then got the evidence that we have reached 1 million by December in 2012. So this is one of the scope of this analysis, but actually we are doing this in the region since many years for different aims.
Tell us a bit about the history of hematopoietic stem cell transplantation. I mean, there are some landmark moments, aren't there? Is it 40 years ago, New England Journal of Medicine, 1975? The very first transplantation was in the late 1950s, is that correct?
That's correct. So the first publication on successful engraftment of stem cells in the body was published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 1957 by Donald Thomas, which made this treatment in five patients which had therapy-resistant leukemia and radiation accidents. And this was totally new idea to treat patients with diseased bone marrow by infusing new and healthy bone marrow from a donor. And that was the reason also because later on, when it became successful, Don Thomas got the Nobel Prize. But in 1957, this was just unsuccessful. He could show that there is an engraftment of cells, but all patients died within 4 to 5 weeks after transplant.
Right. So 1957 was proof of concept.
Correct. And then after this 1957, we had actually a publication with 200 patients which were transplanted in different locations in the States. And from these 200 patients, only two survived. So we still had the problem. We had problem of engraftment of stem cells, and we had problems of disease, which was called secondary disease, but later on it has been called graft versus host disease. Don Thomas came back and actually analyzed this again, and he found that the major problem was that the donor has to be histocompatible. That means that the not the blood group or other things have to be the same, but all our histocompatibility has to be the same. And actually the first successful transplant was in twins, where we have complete identity. And after this we had an evolution which was multifactorial and was present in many, was with contributions of many faculties in immunology, in pharmacy, and even in irradiation, in cooperation of societies or cooperation with transplant centers. So this was another 20 years until we had some of the activities which were successful. But then in the 1980s, it really came off the ground. It was really a success since there.
Tell us about how you're able to know through all the networks that you reached 1 million at the end of 2012. I mean, tell us about the study you're publishing in The Lancet Haematology. What were the main findings?
From the beginning, the transplant physicians actually were recognized that there must be a quality control of all these transplants. And therefore, from the beginning, in Europe and the United States, a registry was built. And this was actually later on mandatory to register the transplant. This is a quality control, because then you can see how frequent certain transplants were. And we also had some site visits to our transplant programs, where we just checked if these numbers were reported correctly. As you may understand, a transplant is a very expensive procedure. This means that we have to be very careful in using the money for these transplants. And especially also when unrelated donors are involved, we need to be sure from the ethical point that all the transplants are done with certain quality controls. So in Europe, we, since decades, were reporting all the data to the European Blood and Marrow Transplantation Group. In the States, they are reporting all the data to CIBMTR. And still, we had many spots in the world which were not reporting data, and the WBMT has been formed, which is like an umbrella organization for different societies to help other peoples in the world to put up their registry. And this has now been done for the whole world, and retrospectively, the activity of these other countries has been collected and put together in a big file, and we have reached 1 million.
Your million. It's amazing. I mean, amazing bit of coordination and administration just to make that happen. Are you confident that this worldwide database is accurate?
Yes, we are confident in Europe. We have two things in Europe. We have this survey where we are collecting the data from each center on one sheet by disease, but also the same patients are reported in a registry, which is much more detailed. And then we compare this survey with the registry. And in Europe, we have 95%, even 96% of all transplants which are done. In the States, it's mandatory to report this by law since a few years. And there we have 100% reporting for allogeneic. For autologous, we may lose about 15%, so which are not reported. In APPMT, this, as in Asia-Pacific room, we have actually a very good increase of this activity reports. We have also insurance companies which are asking to be that these activities are reported. I would not say that we have 100% security, but we are very, very close to 90-95%, depending on the region, of all the activities done worldwide.
Fantastic. And just drawing our discussion to a close now, I mean, what do you conclude from your study, and what are the implications, do you think, of this amazing piece of work in hematology, bringing together all this data on stem cell transplantation? Are there implications for this specialty moving ahead, and for other specialties in medicine as well?
I just want to mention that this is actually the first comprehensive activity of registering such transplants around the world, and therefore we were also appointed by the WHO to be a non-governmental organization of them, because this is essential to know how many transplants of which type, and on which indication they are done. This is especially important if we are looking on the equality of patients around the world. As you know, WHO wants to have similar possibilities for each I would say, for each person around the world. And we can see here the differences per 10 million inhabitants of the different countries, and these are quite substantial. We have still spots in on the globe where we do not have any activity. And these countries need help from us to tween with us and to convince the politicians that we have to help them. And actually, we had three workshops together with the WHO, and these white spots are diminishing. We have only a few countries today which are not making transplants. Second, it gives you an overview on the movements of stem cell grafts around the world. As you may imagine, stem cell transplantation is a global effort, and we need donors around the world because we need the same histocompatibility and not only a blood group. So we may have a patient which has a donor only in Australia, or a patient which has a donor only in another country. Here we have, just to show how these movements are, and what is the density of donor registry around the world. As you may have seen in one of the slides of the figures of the article, you can see that we have one country which is especially export-oriented, and other countries which are self-sufficient, and we have a few countries which have no registry. So also this is a very important piece of information. There have been done some mistakes in the past, especially if you are looking at the activity of autologous stem cell transplantation. You may see that you have a peak there, with a decrease in the year 2000 around. So this is showing you that there was an indication which actually didn't work for autologous stem cell transplantation. That was breast cancer. And this was really a warning for all others, which actually then looked at the data again and found that this indication has to be studied. And the problem is that the registry is very important, but it must be even more important to make prospective randomized studies. And these are very few in the stem cell transplantation world.
Absolutely. So what would your final conclusion be on this paper and looking ahead to the future?
It's a real milestone of cooperation, of success of a stem cell transplantation, even an example for other societies and other treatments around the world.
Professor Nina Wieser on the line from the University of Leipzig in Germany. Thank you very much indeed for talking to The Lancet Haematology.
Thank you very much.